Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Hello and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I'm your host, Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes, and I really hope you'll be able to stick around as we look this week at the Mass readings for the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, over the past few weeks, we have had a string of solemnities. We're getting over just past the Easter season. We go into Pentecost. We go into Trinity Sunday. We go into... This previous Sunday, which was the solemnity of the body and blood of Christ, Corpus Christi. So we had lots of big celebrations. We go back this week into ordinary time. Now, you've heard me say this before. There is nothing really ordinary about ordinary time. So I would say let's not get hung up on that name. Ordinary time is that period that's not Advent, that period that's not Lent, not the Easter season, not the Christmas season. It is ordinary time. And for the most part, this is where we are, you know, throughout the church year. Every Sunday we go to church, we're in ordinary time, with the exception of those other big seasons. But listen to the title of today's program. I call this Conditional Discipleship. Now, this is a tough show, but this is actually something that I really want to talk about, because this is a topic that really affects all of us. I know it affects me, and I would bet it affects you. It affects so many of us. Lord, I will follow you. Lord Jesus, I'll follow you on this condition. I'm going to do this. Okay, I'll do that. I'll do this. I'll do, but not that. Don't ask me to do this. You know, it's a certain hesitancy on our part, and I think just about all of us have this, a certain hesitancy to follow Jesus or to follow him to a certain point, until it gets a little too painful. I want to look at these readings and really let the Lord speak to us through these readings. I can't wait to hear them myself. I read them, but I need to hear them again. And one of the kind of neat things about doing a show like this is the fact that I'm the host of the program. I'm the guy doing the talking, right? But the Lord speaks to me through me. He does it here, he does it when I write, he does it when I speak, and it's kind of a weird, it's a weird position to be in. I'll be saying something, or I'll be reading a passage of scripture, and it'll hit me. It's something that never hit me before. It comes to life as I am giving you the message. So a lot of times the Holy Spirit works in me like this, so I'm anxious to see what happens throughout this show. And if you notice, and I'll do so in just a couple of minutes, at the beginning of every show, I ask the Holy Spirit to give me the words. Certainly, the Holy Spirit gives us the words through the scriptures that we'll read on the show today. But the commentary, I really want the Holy Spirit to lead my thoughts and my words so that you get the message that the Lord has for you. All right, so without further ado, you probably figured out we're going to do this. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father and pray. And if you'll join me, we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of being able to have this conversation with you. Father, we're so grateful that we can come before you in prayer. We recognize you as the all-powerful God of the universe, but at the same time, we recognize you as our loving Heavenly Father, who loves us unconditionally, who is bigger than any problem we can ever face, and who has created us out of nothing specifically to be in a relationship with you. So that's, Father, we recognize that. And we're so grateful that you did create us and that you do give us this opportunity to have a relationship with you and to work on that relationship through prayer. Father, we lift up all of our needs today, whatever they may be. We lift them up. We ask you to handle them for us. We ask you to watch over us and our loved ones and friends. We ask you, Father, to open our hearts so that as we hear the scripture that we look at today from the 13th Sunday in Ordinary Time, we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit will open up our hearts to hear the words and to respond in a way that would please you. Finally, Father, I ask you to give me the words. Use me as your instrument, Father. I'm yours. I don't want to get in your way. Please give me the words so that I can deliver your message on this program. And Father, we ask these things in the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Well, thank you again for listening, for praying with me. I'm Gary Zimek. This is The Gary Zimek Show. And I want to direct you quickly to my website, followingthetruth.com, if you want to find out more about my work, find out about my books, sign up for my daily Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled email reflection, or find out about my Monday through Friday podcast, my daily podcast, which is called Following the Truth. It's 5 minutes each day, and you can find out about any of those things or invite me to speak at your parish or your conference by going to followingthetruth.com. All right, let's look at these readings now. Let's get right into it. And as I always do, I'm going to start with the gospel. We'll let the gospel lead the way. And I haven't said this in a while because we've been in the Easter season and then we've had these special solemnities. But throughout ordinary time, what happens is the gospel, the church gives us the gospel sequentially. So we're basically proceeding through the gospel. We're in Luke right now, sequentially. Every week now, provided it's not a solemnity, every Sunday in ordinary time, we'll read the next chunk of the gospel for the most part. And the first reading is different. The first reading is chosen each week. We're not proceeding sequentially through the Old Testament in the first readings. The first reading is chosen by the church to back up the gospel. And you're going to hear today that this particular first reading does support the message of the gospel, as does the responsorial psalm. So the responsorial psalm is picked to support the first reading and the gospel as well. And then the second reading, similar to the gospel during ordinary time, proceeds sequentially as well. So technically, the second reading that we're going to hear from, that we will read today, this is not necessarily chosen specifically to match up to the gospel. We're going to be going through St. Paul's letter to the Galatians sequentially, just as we do the gospel. The challenge that I always try to take on is to find a connection between that second reading and the other readings. I always let the Holy Spirit allow that to happen because I believe that all scripture is interconnected and the Spirit can use any piece of scripture to support another piece of scripture. So with that in mind, let's look to the gospel today. Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. And before we get to the major part of the gospel, we're going to hear something that I will stop and pause and really make sure you understand, because this was presented to me one day. I was at a retreat and a priest took this one verse out of the gospel and made a point of it. And I've never forgotten it because it's so powerful. So let's begin. Luke 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, he resolutely determined to journey to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. Now, to frame this and put it in its proper context, what we really have here is Jesus coming down from the mountain. He had that transfiguration experience with his disciples, and then he's basically coming down the mountain to head to Jerusalem to die. This is a big, critical turning point in the life and mission of Jesus Christ. When the days for Jesus being taken up were fulfilled, in other words, when the Father said, all right, it's time, because Jesus was here, and this gets a little hard for us to understand, because the Father and Jesus are equal, but it almost sounds like Jesus works for the Father, doesn't it? Like he's fulfilling the Father's will, but it's not like that. And really, we're trying to describe the perfection of God with our limited, imperfect words. So we can only get so close to it. But know that the Father and the Son are equal, but Jesus was on a mission sent by God the Father to earth to die for our sins and to rise from the dead so that the gates of heaven would be opened and that we would be able to live, to have eternal life. That was his mission. He did it not because the Father was his boss. He did it because he loves the Father, and he did it out of obedience. So as followers, disciples of Jesus Christ, we're called to be Jesus, essentially. So that's where we should strive with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's why we have the Holy Spirit, to always follow the will of the Father. But this point made by Luke that Jesus resolutely determined, this was a conscious decision to make that pivot in his journey, to pivot and turn toward Jerusalem after he came down from the mountain to do the Father's will. This is what we're all called to do as disciples, to imitate Jesus, to make that decision. It's not an accident. It's not like we just get baptized and we just wander around aimlessly and that's what Christians do. No, if you're really living Christianity to the fullest, what we're called to do is make that intentional, conscious decision to follow Jesus Christ. And he will take us to Jerusalem, whatever our Jerusalem may be. You know, like each of us are called to die to self and to follow Jesus. We might not be hung on a cross, but we're essentially called to give up our lives for him, more or less. That doesn't mean you give up your family. Doesn't mean you give up your job. It's more of an internal decision. Yes, I will follow you, Jord. You're headed to Jesus, Lord. I called him Jord. You're headed to Jerusalem, Lord. I'll follow you no matter what. I have made that decision. So on the way, they entered a Samaritan village to prepare for his reception there, but they would not welcome him because the destination of his journey was Jerusalem. Now, there's a lot happening here. The Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. The Jews would deliberately avoid Samaria, but Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He wasn't about to do that. He was not about to take a longer route just to avoid the Samaritans. Jesus didn't make it a habit to avoid people. Jesus went through Samaria, and obviously he wasn't welcome because he was a Jew, and he was headed to Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, "Lord, Do you want us to call down fire from heaven to consume them?" Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they journeyed to another village. So they weren't welcome there. And this, you know, Jesus was big about this. He would try, he would reach out to people, and he said this on multiple occasions. He told his disciples this: if they don't receive you, shake the dust from your feet and go elsewhere. But don't avoid them. And, you know, I think that's a lesson for all of us. We're called to reach out to our brothers and sisters, our enemies. And if people don't want to hear the message, that's on them. And you can only try so much. And then you go somewhere where somebody does want to hear you. But it doesn't mean that you avoid people just because they might not be receptive. You never know. You know, you plant a seed here and there, and at some point when they're ready, people might be receptive to the message. As they were proceeding on their journey, someone said to him, now here's where we get into the nitty-gritty of today's message. Someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." So in other words, Jesus is saying, following me isn't a matter of convenience. Following me will sometimes be inconvenient. And here to another, he's reaching out to somebody. To another, he said, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, let me go first and bury my father." But he answered him, "Let the dead bury their dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Now, that sounds mean, doesn't it? He wants to bury his father. Now, typically, the understanding of scripture scholars has been that the Jews would bury their dead very quickly. So this appears to be a person whose father was not dead yet. You know, in other words, like, "Oh yeah, I'll follow you, but I still got plenty of time here to take care of some business. I'm not ready yet. I've got other things to do. It's that, well, it's not convenient for me to follow you type of discipleship. And that's what our Lord is condemning. He's saying, no, I'm calling you now. Don't put off the decision. Don't put off the decision. Now is the time I'm calling you to follow me. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me say farewell to my family at home. To him, Jesus said, no one who sets a hand to the plow and looks to what was left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, this sounds harsh, but we have what we have here. And you got to understand that we weren't here. We're not here. We don't know what's in the mind of the disciple who's talking to Jesus, but Jesus does. He can read hearts. So obviously he has somebody here who is making excuses. Again, the message is, well, I'll follow you, but only when it's convenient for me. Now, look, this is a tough message. This is a tough message for all of us. And I'm a big excuse maker. And this is hitting me this week. That's why I was excited to talk to you about it. And that's why it's critical for us to really listen to the words of Jesus. Because in this gospel, let's not apply this message, what's happening here, to other people. Let's apply these words to us. Jesus, at this point in time, is resolutely determining to go to Jerusalem to his death. Now is the time. I'm on my way. Who's in? And we see a lot of people making excuses. It wasn't especially convenient for our Lord to die on the cross either, you know? But he did it because the time was now. The time was fulfilled. It's like that message we hear at the beginning of Lent in Mark 1:15. I use this when I begin my parish missions. The time is now, or the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, or believe in the good news. Now is the time, you know? Now's the time for us to make that conscious choice. Let's go to the first reading, and I think you'll see the connection. It's from the first book of Kings, beginning in chapter 19. The Lord said to Elijah, you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, as prophet to succeed you. Elijah sent out and came upon Elisha, son of Shaphat, as he was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen. He was following the 12th. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak over him. Elisha left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, please, listen to this, let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and I will follow you. You see this? The prophet Elijah is obeying the Lord's command to appoint his successor, Elisha. Elisha's a little reluctant. He's saying, all right, not yet. I'm not ready. I want to go back and say goodbye to my family. Kiss my father and mother goodbye. And you see that direct connection. This is a foreshadowing of what we read in the gospel today. And this is why the church is using this first reading to supplement the gospel today. Elijah answered, go back. Have I done anything to you? Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen. Now here we see a change of heart here in the newly called prophet, the successor to Elijah. Elisha left him, and taking the yoke of oxen, he slaughtered them. He used the plowing equipment for fuel to boil their flesh and gave it to his people to eat. Then Elisha left and followed Elijah as his attendant. See, there was a bit of a hesitation there. And that's like really weird language too. Slaughtering the oxen. Remember, this is thousands of years ago. So it's kind of hard for us to relate to what's going on there. But essentially what he's doing, he's breaking. He's breaking from his present occupation and following God's call through the prophet Elijah. Now, you remember at this time, this is pre-Christ, the Lord God spoke to the people through the prophets. That's how he communicated with the people. Now we have Christ and his church. Of course, that doesn't negate the message of the prophets, but Jesus really came to fulfill and to put meat on the message of the prophets. Same message, but often amped up to a more powerful and bigger message that Jesus delivers to us in the words of Scripture and through his church. So the psalm is Psalm 16, you are my inheritance, O Lord. Keep me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you, O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup. You it is who held fast my lot. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand I shall not be disturbed. Therefore my heart is glad and my soul rejoices. My body too abides in confidence. Because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. You will show me the path to life. And I think that's what I really want to focus on. This is an idea of, in this psalm, we look at this and say, all right, what does this mean? How is this supporting the gospel in the first reading? It's a message of trust. God, you're going to take care of me. You're calling me to do something. That really is what the prophet and the disciples, you and me as disciples of Christ, that's the message for us. And the Lord is calling us and saying, are you going to come with me? Are you going to trust me to take care of the details? And, you know, that's hard for me. I'm a control freak. I like to be in control. You know, I'm not going to kid you. This psalm ends with, you will show me the path to life, fullness of joys in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. We could take this as an expression of Jesus Christ doing the will of the Father. Jesus was always about doing the will of the Father, and as his other images, if you want to call us that, because that's what we're called to do. Jesus showed us what perfect humanity looks like. We're called to follow the Father's will. And the Lord Jesus came to earth to get our attention to say, all right, here we go. You ready? It doesn't mean you're going to leave your family, as I said, or leave your job. It means your heart's going to change. And you're going to begin to live for Christ. You're going to bring him into your house. You're going to bring him into the workplace, into your marriage, into your family life, into the grocery store, wherever you go. You're going to bring the message of Christ into the circumstances of your daily life. There's a need for it. Look at the world. It's nuts. There's a need for us to get out there and deliver that message. And you know what? That's where you're going to find your peace. We're never going to find our peace in anything but doing God's will. What's God's will? It's for us to follow him. To say, yeah, Lord, I'm no excuses. Here I am. Here I am. Use me. That's a rough prayer, isn't it? That's a tough prayer to pray. But man, that's a Christ-like prayer. Father, your will be done. Yikes, right? That's tough. The second reading is a reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Galatians, chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Now, what jumps off the page to me immediately, you know, you talk about the connection between the second reading and the other readings, even though it's not a deliberate on the part of the church connection, this idea of freedom. Christ came to free us from the slavery of fear, of sin, of discouragement, of following the world. You know, we are enslaved in so many ways and we don't even realize it. And it seems oftentimes safer to not follow Jesus. But in reality, the only safe place to be, the only place to find peace in this world is by following Christ. You're really not going to find it in the world. You might find it temporarily, but it doesn't last. St. Paul goes on to say, for you were not called for freedom, brothers and sisters. For you were called for freedom, I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. But do not use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. Rather, serve one another through love. For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you go on biting and devouring one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. So, you know, what Paul is saying is supporting this message we see in the other readings today. Jesus is saying, follow me. Don't follow the world. I need you to follow me. If you're going to be my disciple, you need to leave your old ways behind. All those things you're hanging on to. And trust me, as I said earlier, this is not easy for me. And you know what? This is a gradual process. I have found that I am being called to let go gradually, and not just material things of wanting to be right, of calling the shots all the time. Sometimes you just, for the sake of God's will, you've got to submit to things that you might not want to submit to. And that's true freedom. True freedom is following the will of God and not doing what you want. I know that sounds crazy, but doing what we want, when it includes sin, when it includes not following Jesus, when it includes not making that deliberate decision to turn toward Jerusalem like Jesus did in the gospel, that's not freedom. That's slavery. It's slavery to a life of misery. Listen, I've lived it. I've lived it for many years. I understand. But following Christ, there's a freedom. There's a peace there. I say then, Paul says, live by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, in other words. And you will certainly not gratify the desire of the flesh. For the flesh has desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are opposed to each other, so that you may not do what you want. But if you are guided by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The law meaning, at the time Paul wrote this, the religious law with all the regulations, the man-made regulations, which oftentimes completely went against the message of the gospel. So what Paul is saying here is follow the Spirit. Follow the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit speaks through the church, as the Holy Spirit speaks to you individually. You know, of course, that can't conflict with what the church teaches, but how is the Spirit calling you? This is how you are called to follow. In a similar way, do we see Jesus calling the people to follow him in the gospel, and Elijah the prophet calling his successor, Elisha. We are called through the power of the Holy Spirit to follow Christ, to bring him wherever he needs to go. But this is a day-to-day thing. This is a day-to-day revelation in our lives. All right, Lord, where are you having me today? Now, of course, you might be called to a religious vocation. You might be called to leave your job. I mean, chances are you could be called to something that does require a major change in your life. But for the most part, that's not the case. For the most part, you're going to just live and follow perform your current duties of life, but just follow them in a different way as a Christian, bringing Christ into them. All right, wow, that's good stuff. If you get a chance, make sure you make it a point to read these readings again. You can find them online at the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website. You could probably find them at your parish and in a missalette. You can find them in a magazine like the Magnificat or the Word Among Us. You can Google Catholic Mass readings, but read them again. And let the Lord speak to you, because this is some powerful stuff. Conditional discipleship. Lord, I will follow you when I'm ready, and I'm not ready yet. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for, yes, Lord, where do you want to send me? It's tough, but it's going to bring you peace. Listen, it's been a great pleasure to hang out with you. Thank you so much for spending this time with me. If you need me, Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. And can I ask you for a favor? Speaking is dried up for the summer. It's going to be a really slow summer. If you enjoy this show, if you enjoy my other work, and you'd like to help support my ministry, I could really use it right now. My website is followingthetruth.com. You can make an online secure donation through PayPal there. It would really help me out. Followingthetruth.com. If you can, if you can't, I totally understand. Please pray for me. Either way, pray for me, and I'll pray for you. But if you are able to make a financial donation, it would help to fund my ministry, and I'd be grateful. Thank you for listening. Again, I'll be praying. I hope to be back with you next week, God willing. Thank you for listening to the Gary Zimak Show. Remember, when Jesus says, follow me, let's not make excuses. God bless you. Talk to you next time.